Hi, and welcome to Radical Living, 5 Strategies for Achieving Your Biggest Dreams Together. I'm David Steele, founder of Relationship Coaching Institute and co-author of Radical Marriage, Your Relationship as Your Greatest Adventure. And Radical Living is actually the last chapter. It's chapter 10 of Radical Marriage, because everything we do to create the best relationship possible and the best life possible culminates in this, culminates in living the life that you really want. So this is really cool. In today's program, we are going to cover how to make your dreams come true. Simple as that. How to remove the number one biggest obstacle that might be holding you back, the number one biggest source of relationship conflict, the number one solution to all relationship problems. And, you know, it might sound like hype to say number one, but really in my experience, this is the number one. So solving the 7 biggest challenges of radical living, our 3 favorite radical living exercises. So these are concrete things that you can do to live a radical life, and we're going to be sharing those today, and 4 doable steps to achieving your dreams, and our top 5 strategies of radical living. Huge agenda, so let's go ahead and get started. So the question on the table right now for radical living is, how can you live your life to the fullest with your partner in the time you have left on this planet? And the thing that is very meaningful to me is the last part of this question, in the time that you have left on this planet. Because we are mortal. We don't live forever. And when you're young, it might seem like you're going to live forever. But really, we have limited time with our partner and limited time that we can achieve our dreams or achieve our life purpose. And ideally, we would savor every minute. We would live every minute to the max. And so that is how you know you're living the radical life. When you are living in the moment, you are maximizing every experience, every moment that you possibly can. So how can you live your life to the fullest with your partner in the time that you have left on this planet? That is what this program is basically all about. Now, the hard truth about that is that you cannot be happy and successful and fulfilled living within your comfort zone. Now, most people seek comfort. They want to be comfortable. But when you're comfortable for too long, then you become restless. You become unhappy, actually. And so this is the hard truth, that most people will seek comfort, but we can't be happy and successful and fulfilled living within our comfort zone. So radical living really does require leaving our comfort zone. So what is your comfort zone? Your comfort zone is the area between your upper and lower limit. So your upper limit, and I have my hands out now in front of me, so one hand is up high and the other hand's down low. So I'm looking at the high hand, and everything above that is my upper limit. It's like, well, you know, I can only take so much happiness. I can only vibrate on such a high frequency any more beyond that, and it's uncomfortable. I got to bring it down. And then your lower limit is like your pain threshold. It is the most amount of misery and pain that you can stand, and beyond that, you need to do something about it to, you know, get out of pain or resolve the pain. So your comfort zone is the area between your upper limit, the level of happiness to which you cannot no longer stand it anymore, and your lower limit, the amount of pain that you can take. That's your comfort level. And so if you're leaving your comfort level, then what are you doing? You are allowing yourself or pushing yourself to experience more happiness than you would ordinarily allow or be comfortable with, or you're allowing yourself to experience a bit more discomfort than you would ordinarily allow or experience. And so, you know, a little bit's okay. Pushing, stretching just a little bit, you know, that's part of it. So fulfillment requires taking risk and going outside our comfort zone, experiencing more happiness than we're comfortable with, and a little bit more discomfort or effort than we're comfortable with. So radical living is about living your life to the fullest, allowing yourself to be increasingly happy. And, you know, that sounds sort of weird to some folks. It's like, well, of course I want to be happy. I'm not uncomfortable being happy. But the reality is, if you give somebody what they want, they can only be happy with that for a short time. And then it's no longer enough. And it's like, let's say you're going to a party. You might enjoy the party, but after a while it just becomes, you know, too noisy and too annoying, and you just can't wait to leave. So we all have a limit to how much we can take of anything, including working on our life, including, you know, even having the best life possible. So there is an ebb and a flow to things. That, you know, we will want to be comfortable and relax, and then there's a time to, you know, get off the couch and live life to the fullest. So putting effort into achieving our dreams is what coaching is all about. It's what living the best life is all about. You know, you're being happy and fulfilled and living a great life and having a radical marriage is not going to happen by default. It's not going to happen automatically by doing nothing about it, or it's not going to happen randomly. It's going to happen because you put effort into achieving your dreams. You are, let's go on to the next slide. Enough about that. So some questions that I would like you to ask yourself right now. What is your biggest dream for your life? Your biggest dream. What is your biggest dream for your life? You don't need to know the answer right now, but just pondering the question is valuable. How can you keep your life fresh, exciting, and continually evolving? That if we stay in one place, we are going to devolve. We're going to go backwards. It's like if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. So how can we keep going forward? How can we keep our life fresh and exciting and continually evolving? And again, you don't need to know the answer right now. These are just worthwhile questions for pondering and whatever comes up. What do you want that you are aware of and conceive of right now? So what are you aware of that you want? What are you aware of that would make you happy? What are you aware of that would allow you to live your best life? And what can you conceive of right now? Because chances are we're not going to go very much beyond what we are aware of and what we can conceive. What would you be ecstatic about that you aren't even aware of yet? Now, this is almost an unfair question. I'm asking you to consider what you aren't even aware of yet. What would make you happy and fulfilled that you aren't even aware of yet? Well, chances are there are a lot of things, but they're outside of your awareness right now. But it starts with asking yourself the question. It starts with exploring. And so this is the really fun and cool and exciting part, is realizing that there's so many more possibilities than you are aware of right now. And so if you assume that they're there and you go looking for them, you will find them. If you assume that there's nothing more than what you can see in front of you, then there will be nothing more than what you see in front of you. So your vision is being aware that there is more there and getting in touch with what that is. This is your vision. This is what's inside you that you want to make real. So there's some things that you won't be able to fully see or realize until you start accomplishing some of your dreams and desires. So the further ahead you get, the more you can see. And you won't be able to see it all right now. You'll see more when you get there. But right now, it's enough to know that there is more there. And this is what makes life exciting and really an adventure. I mean, what is an adventure? Is it an adventure to know what's going to happen in every second of the day? Or is it an adventure to be surprised and to be spontaneous and to look around the corner and not know what's going to be there. So we can uncover a lot right now about what your vision looks like with the help of a few exercises, and I'm going to share some with you today. That's cool. So, your vision is what is inside you that you want to realize or make real. Your vision is what you want in your life and relationship. And your vision helps you reach your wildest dreams and go beyond them. So, again, there's the conceiving part. There's the idea that you have a dream that's inside you. And it's much more likely to become real, and you have the ability to make it real if you're clear about what it is and you go for it. So that's the value of vision, and that's the value of getting clear about what your vision is, so that then you can see it and then achieve it and take steps towards it. What I've learned and realized that I've been a therapist for a lot of years, and in therapy school, they don't talk about vision at all. And only when I became a coach did I discover this whole new world of possibility and how to make dreams real. And what I learned is that vision is crucial for happiness and fulfillment. Otherwise, it's random. Otherwise, it may or may not happen. If you want to be happy in your life, you can take steps to make that happen, and it starts with knowing what would make you happy. And that is whatever is inside you that you want to make real in your life, and that is your vision. Your vision helps you recognize available opportunities and resources. It's like if you know that an important part of your vision is mountain climbing, then let's say you don't live anywhere near the mountains. Well, you can still practice rock climbing. You can still, you know, go to the gym and practice climbing there. You can take classes. You can subscribe to magazines. You can watch documentaries and TV shows about it. There are a lot that you can do to be a climber, to be more an accomplished climber, but you won't recognize those opportunities and resources unless you're clear about what that dream and vision is. So it's amazing. Like if I were to mention the word red Corvette, it's amazing how if you're driving down the road and you're thinking about red Corvettes, how many red Corvettes you'll see because you're conscious of them, because you're looking for them. And if you're not thinking about it, you might not ever think of or see red Corvettes ever. So it's very true that we tend to create our own reality. And so if you want to get closer to your dreams, if you want to live your vision, if you want to live radically, then you'll be clear about what that is and what it looks like, and then you'll be amazed at how the opportunities and resources that you need to achieve that just appear right in front of you because you're looking for them, because you can see them. And lastly, your vision guides you in making your life choices. You have a choice in every second of the day. And you can make a choice that causes you to move forward closer to your vision and realizing your dreams, or you can make a choice that causes you to go further away from it. So we have a choice. And your vision can guide you in making your choices so that you can achieve your dreams. If you don't know what your vision is, you're not clear about it, then it's sort of random and hit or miss. It may or may not happen. It's probably not going to happen. So this program and what I'm going to share with you today is really, really important. Because if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be fulfilled, if you're going to live a radical life, either as a single or as a couple, being clear about what your vision is allows you to make the choices to make it happen. The biggest obstacle to achieving your vision and living a radical life, it's not outside of you. It's not external. It's not because you don't have enough money or because you're overweight, or because you're too old, or because of anything, the number one biggest obstacle to achieving your dreams is fear. And what is fear? False expectations appearing real. Fear isn't real. Fear is anticipating something that hasn't happened yet. And this is the number one thing that holds us back. Well, if I do this, then that will happen, and I don't want that. So we anticipate all these negative consequences, all these worst-case scenarios, and so we don't do something because of that, of those undesired consequences. Well, you know, maybe what you fear is something very, very real. If you jump off a cliff without a parachute, you are going to die. Fear that. But what happens in our life is that we fear a lot of things that aren't real and aren't going to happen or has a very small chance of happening, and then it holds us back. And so how can you know the difference? What can you do about fear? I have the absolute best strategy that I've ever found in my life to address that, and I'm about to share with you right now. And it comes from a book written by my friend Brian Whetten. And Brian Whetten's book is Yes, Yes, Hell No. And he proposes that there are three parts of the self. There is the mind. This is where our thinking, cognition, reasoning, and logic is. And then there's the spirit. This is our intuition. This is our inner voice. And then our body. And this is our physical sensations and our instincts and our reactive emotions. And this is where fear is. So we have the mind, we have the spirit, and then we have the body, including fear. And so where yes, yes, hell no comes in is if the mind says yes, yes, I want to go for it. Yes, I want this. Yes, this is a good idea. So all your logic is telling you, yes. Your reasoning is yes. And if your spirit says yes, your inner voice is saying, yes, this is a good choice. Yes, you want this. Yes, this will make you happy. Yes, go towards it. So your mind is saying, yes, this is a good idea for all these reasons. Your spirit, your intuition, your inner voice is saying, yes, I want this. But if there's a hell no that comes up, chances are that's your fear. So your mind is saying yes, and your spirit is saying yes, and if your fear says, hell no, this is scary, hell no, this could happen and that could happen. Well, if your mind evaluates, well, yes, this could happen, but the odds are really low, or I could do this about it to prevent that negative consequence, you know, so then if your mind and your spirit are aligned and you feel fear, you feel that hell no, you should probably go for it. I'm not asking you to do anything dangerous. Your mind would not want you to do anything dangerous. Your mind, your reasoning, your logic would say, well, nope, bad idea because of. And your spirit would not want you to do it either. Your inner voice, your intuition would pull back from it and say, oh, nope, that's not right for me. So it really does seem to be the case, this is my experience anyway, that when your mind and your spirit are aligned, you should probably go for it, and there's going to be a lot of fear, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up for you, of reasons not to do it. Well, this could happen and that could happen. Well, we talked about going outside your comfort zone earlier, and this is exactly where you might give it a try. So, that's my best take, that's my best strategy that I've ever seen for handling fear and taking risk and determining, is this a good choice or a bad choice? Should you do it or not do it? So, let's take this into the realm of relationships. you want to live a radical life together. You'd like to have a radical marriage or a radical relationship. You want to be able to live your dreams together. And John Gottman, one of the preeminent relationship researchers today, his research came up with the statistic that 69% of relationship conflict is due to unrealized expectations. Now, what are unrealized expectations? John Gottman doesn't use this language, but it really does seem like the definition of unrealized expectations is just another word for vision. So you have an expectation, there's something that you want to make real, and it's not happening, and you're getting frustrated, and that causes relationship conflict. So conflict happens when you have a need, an expectation, a dream, or a vision that isn't being realized or isn't being supported by your partner. And if this is the cause of 69% of relationship conflict, that is huge. So this allows us to look at relationships and relationship conflict in a whole new way. Rather than it being about money or kids or whatever it's about our dreams, it's about our vision, it's about these expectations we have inside us that we want to make it real, that is our vision for our life and relationship. This means vision is huge and has a huge role in your everyday life and your relationship. It's not just an idea. So let's take it a little further. As far as radical living, five parts. The first part is your vision, which is what you want your life to look like. The second part, I propose, is your purpose. Your purpose, as I define it, is your reason for being on this planet. Now, we do feel like there's a reason for us being alive, you know, that it's not random and that we're not just here to suck air and eat food and poop and then die. You know, we have some higher purpose for being on this planet. And sometimes it's hard to get in touch with what that might be. And so, you know, that's where coaching really comes in handy. And there's personal growth workshops, and there's a lot of strategies for helping to become clear about your purpose. For now, it's enough just to assume, you know what, I have a purpose. I'm here for a reason, and I'd like to explore and find out what that is. And then there's your requirements. So in terms of living a radical life on your own or with somebody else, there are core foundational needs that must be in place for your life to work. So certainly we need, you know, air and water and food and things like that, but we also need things like safety. You know, we also need love. We also need fun. And in a relationship, there's needs. And, you know, the core foundational needs for a relationship to work, you know, what are they? You know, that you can trust your partner, that they are honest and that they keep their word, or that they, you know, they're responsible with money, or, you know, that they practice monogamy, that they don't fool around on you. So we all have requirements. These are core foundational needs that our life is not going to work if one is missing, and our relationship is not going to work if it's missing. So that's another important part of radical living. And then fourth is our needs. And these are simply what we need to be okay, or to feel okay, or to be in a state of okayness. So if you think about it, if you don't eat for a while, you are going to experience hunger. And so you have a need for food. And you're not feeling okay anymore if you're hungry. And so on and on and on in every area of our life, if we have a sense of not okayness, we have a sense of there's a problem, there's an issue, there's, you know, our okayness is being interfered with, then that is pointing to a need that needs to be met. And it's really helpful to identify what that is accurately so that then we can meet it, we can do something about it. And that might sound simple, but I tell you, in working with couples and in relationships, often they're unhappy, they experience issues and problems in their relationship, and they are not clear exactly what it is. They spend an awful lot of time talking and argue about it, but when it comes right down to it, they aren't exactly clear what the need is. And so that is the value of working with a coach or a relationship coach, you know, that is aware of this stuff, because how can you solve it if you're not clear about exactly what it is? So needs. And then there's wants. Now, wants are what makes life fun and enjoyable. And we all want a fun life. We all want pleasure and enjoyment in our life. You know, we can live without it. Chances are we can even be happy without it. But to live a radical life and to truly be happy and fulfilled, we are going to have some of our wants met. And so that is the five parts of radical living as I see it. That we have a vision of what we want our life to look like, we have a purpose, a reason for being on this planet, and we are doing things in alignment with that. And we have our core foundational needs, our requirements being met in our life and in our relationship. And that whatever needs we have, what we need to be okay and to get through the day, those are being met. And that we are able to experience our wants being met. We're experiencing, you know, fun and pleasure and enjoyment. So in my mind, those are the five parts of radical living. When you have all those five parts in place, you are living a radical life. So as you might recall from the Radical Marriage book, radical living together in a relationship requires first a radical commitment, and then being able to communicate effectively. And what you do with that communication is experience radical intimacy. And what you can do with radical intimacy is amp that up into radical romance. And then that can be lead to radical sex. And that is basically living the radical life together. When you experience radical commitment with your partner, when you have great communication with your partner, when you have deep intimacy with your partner, when you have a romantic relationship, so you have passion and romantic energy going back and forth, and you are experiencing a fulfilling sexual relationship together, that is living the radical life together. So how do you do that? First exercise I have to share with you today is the Radical Living Wheel. And this is an exercise that you can download from the webpage in front of you shortly. And there are different parts of the wheel. You'll notice that there's things like money and health and family and domestic things and fun and adventure and spirit, meaning and purpose, and your primary relationship, meaning your primary relationship with your partner. And that's not the only relationship in your life, but that's an important area. And then romance and sex and work, and also yourself. You know, don't leave yourself out. That, you know, living a radical life and being happy and fulfilled and, you know, achieving your dreams and living your vision does include you prioritizing yourself and taking care of yourself and going after what you really want. But in a relationship, then, we're also prioritizing our partner's happiness. So we're doing it together. We are a team. But being a team and doing it together doesn't mean that you ignore yourself. So it's both. So self is a very, very important part of the radical living wheel. And so what do you do with this? So here is an example of what you can do with the radical living wheel. You can print out the form, or you can just draw it on a piece of paper. And then you rate each area on a scale of 1 to 10. So 1 would be the lowest possible, 10 would be the highest possible. And then you draw in the segments of the radical merit, radical living wheel. And here you see an example of money is 5, and health is 4, and family is 7, and home domestic is 7, and fun and adventure is 2, spiritual meaning purpose is 3, primary relationship is 8, and romance sex is 4, work is 2, self is 7. And so visually, you can see right away what is out of balance, what needs attention. And you can also see patterns. Like, I'm noticing a pattern here of not being very satisfied with work and also not having, you know, the fun and adventure that you'd really like. And chances are they go together pretty well. And the romance department seems pretty low, romance and sex. However, the primary relationship satisfaction is pretty high. So that's pretty interesting. You know, health looks like it could be a lot better. You know, money looks like, you know, that could improve as well. So you can see patterns. You can see clearly, you know, what might need to be addressed, what might need to be a priority, and, you know, what's out of balance and what is, you know, doing pretty well. And you can see it all in a glance. And it's a great decision-making tool because you can look at this and you get a sense of where you want to start. You know, in coaching we use this. It's like the foundational classic coaching tool called the Wheel of Life. And when we do this with our clients, you know, typically there will be something that stands out. Oh, my gosh, I have to work on this right away. And it really, you know, makes it very, very clear and easy to see, easy to spot, easy to make decisions about. So I highly, highly recommend, you know, using the Wheel of Life, and in this case, the Radical Living Wheel. We adapted it for Radical Marriage and Radical Living. And so at the end of this program, we highly recommend that you download it, print it out, and give it a try. So what gets in the way of radical living, of living your best life? Typically, it's one or a combination of three things. It's skills, meaning knowing how to do something. It's attitudes. It's the way of looking at something. It's the interpretation or the, you know, the point of view that you have on something, whether something is positive or negative or hard or it's easy. You know, it's all perception. Perception's a reality. So your attitudes often will get in the way. You know, or it's the choices. And sometimes we don't know what to do, so we're choosing pretty randomly. Otherwise, we know what to do, but we have trouble doing it, so we choose to do something else. So these tend to be the three things that get in the way. Either it's skills. Now, skills are pretty easy because you can learn how to do something, and sometimes you don't even need lessons. You don't even need to read a book. You don't need to take a class. You can learn how to do something simply by trying, simply by choosing to do it and practicing it. And then, you know, attitudes, this is a little bit harder because often, you know, we have a hard time looking in the mirror and seeing how we are getting in our own way because of our attitudes. Because our attitudes seem like reality. They seem like fact to us. But the reality is that, you know, we are interpreting reality. So, for example, let's say, the sky is blue. All right. Well, that is a fact. If you line up 100 people and you ask them, what color is the sky? Chances are most people would say, yep, sky's blue. Okay. So a fact is measurable. A fact is observable. A fact is provable. But then there are attitudes or there are interpretations of the facts. So the sky is pretty. Well, that is an interpretation, that is a judgment, that is an opinion, you know, it's not a fact. And so it's helpful to know the difference between a fact and an opinion. And we can't do anything about facts, but we definitely can do something about the interpretations that we make about those facts, and those are our attitudes. So, I'm too old, it's too late for me. That's an attitude, that's an opinion, that is a subjective decision that I've made. Or it's never too late and you're never too old. That is 180 degrees. That's another attitude. And which one would serve me better? Which one would be more effective for me? You know, all the good ones are taken. All men are jerks. All committed relationships break up and divorce. You know, those are not facts, those are opinions, those are attitudes or judgments. And so it's really, really helpful to become aware of how we get in our own way with how we look at things and the interpretations that we make of things, and those are attitudes. And this is where working with a coach can really, really come in handy, because in achieving a goal, we will have stuff that interferes with accomplishing the goal. Sometimes it's our skills, sometimes it's our attitudes, sometimes it's our choices. And it's really, really hard to take care of all those obstacles all by yourself. So getting some support for it is really, really helpful. So I'd like to cover the seven biggest challenges to radical living, especially in a relationship. These are the seven things that I've noticed that if it trips you up and gets in the way, it's going to be one of these seven things or a combination. The first is money. This is probably the biggest thing that couples argue about, that they are stressed about, is money. And what I notice is that when a couple is working as a team, then it doesn't matter how much money they have or don't have. It doesn't matter how much debt they have or don't have, because you have each other and you are a team. Now, the research shows that committed relationships are far better off, far more successful economically. So congratulations, if you're married or in a committed relationship and you can be a team around money, you don't have to worry about it. You will find a way. You will get through this. And the thing is, a lot of couples think that they need to agree, that they need to think the same way about things, they need to be on the same page all the time. And that's absolutely a myth. That's not true at all. You will have different perspectives. You will have different styles. You will, not agree on everything. So with money, there will be the savers and the spenders. Well, they're both valid. That saving is a good idea and spending is a good idea. And you need to do both. You need to save and you need to spend. If all you're doing is saving and you're not spending and enjoying your life, then what's the point? If all you're doing is spending and you're not saving anything and you're getting in deeper and deeper into debt, then that's not a good thing either. So they're both good. So that typically is the way it works in a relationship where we can be different and we cannot agree, but we are much more powerful as a team. And money is critical to achieving your vision. You will not be able to be happy and successful in life without money. It's just not the way things are wired or the way they're set up. But, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be stressful. And what I notice is, a lot of people do worry about money, and they do measure their success in life or lack of success in terms of money. So that is putting a bit too much importance in money. Money is critical to achieving your vision, but what's even more critical is your vision and your commitment to your vision and to your relationship. So second is family. And this is another big point of conflict for a lot of couples, because we come from different families, we come from different backgrounds, and sometimes our partner's family is hard for us to deal with. And we are definitely, more used to and comfortable with and desensitized to our own family than to our partner's family. So the important thing about a couple is that you develop your own rituals, you develop your own life together, and that you include your family. But your partner and your relationship comes first. And, when we're younger, for example, we might celebrate Christmas at our parents' house. And when we get married, we might still go to our parents' house to celebrate Christmas. At some point, we need to have our own, holiday celebration at our own house. And, often this comes up when a couple has kids. Then they'll realize, we need to have our own celebration here, and then things shift. And sometimes that's an area of conflict if one partner is very attached to celebrating the holiday with their family and the other partner wants to have their own rituals and do it at home. And you can do both, but it just takes, working together, being a team, developing your own rituals and routines and putting the relationship first, that's the priority. So family tends to be a big challenge for radical living together. And it doesn't have to be. You just need to be on the same page, communicate, negotiate, develop your own rituals at home that work for both of you and include your family in a way that works for both of you. Third is domestic issues. This is arguing about the chores and things like that. It's classic. But, you know, it's common to avoid conflict around this stuff. And then one person ends up picking up the slack and doing most of the work and then resenting it. And the other partner ends up just, you know, being passive and waiting to be told what to do and going along with what the partner wants. So it takes a bit of effort and communication to, you know, settle this equitably, because chances are if we're not communicating about this effectively, it will blow up into conflict. And what happens is, you know, most men think they're doing more than they really are around the house. And this is, you know, a lot of scientific research went into this one. But it does seem to be true that women are the nurturers, and women are, you know, from the caveman days, they're used to, you know, keeping the home, and this is what they're conditioned to do. And, you know, men are the breadwinners, stereotypically, and they're out there, you know, fixing the windows and painting the house and doing the yard while the woman is inside. So often there will be kind of a division of labor. And that division of labor is just fine if both partners are happy and it's considered equitable. And that's really what's important. And, you know, it's also classic that many women interpret the man doing chores as a sign of love. And because the woman's heart is in the home, that if the partner, doesn't have to be the man, if the partner is showing up in the home and contributing to the home, then they interpret that as love. And it's very, very powerful, and it doesn't take a whole lot. And, you know, men that are frustrated with their woman criticizing them and henpecking them and, nagging, you know, it's often as a relationship coach, all I have to do is remind the men that if, you know, you want your wife to, you know, be sexually responsive, is to be turned on, then, you know, do some chores around the house. Is that when your partner feels like you are doing, you know, your part, they feel like things are equitable, they feel supported, then they feel closed and they feel connected. And that's what we really want. So it's a really, really big challenge. It's a very common problem that comes up in relationships. It's around domestic issues. So number four in our seven biggest challenges to radical living is gender differences. And, you know, it doesn't have to be around gender. It can be just because we're different. We're different people. But, you know, the differences, you know, men tend to have certain things in common. Women tend to have certain things in common. These could be stereotypes. These could be generalizations. But, you know, they tend to pretty much be, you know, for the most part true. Not true for everybody. But, you know, it does seem to be true that women communicate to connect. And men communicate because they prioritize getting things done. I mean, I recognize that in myself, so I can tell you that as my truth. You know, women tend to want men simply to listen, and men want women to provide information. You know, women over and over and over again will just, you know, want their partner to listen and just complain, he just won't listen to me. That women feel supported and they feel loved when the man is interested and truly listening. And it's really hard sometimes because the man wants to fix it or the man wants to do something about it. And they need information in order to fix it or do something about it. And that's not always what the woman wants. And what seems to be true is that men and women, or any two partners, don't want sex at the same time in the same way. And sex is an important part of relationships, and it can be a big challenge when it's not resolved, when there's differences and those differences aren't talked about or resolved, or, you know, the couple's not finding a way to make it work, and therefore it doesn't work. That we are going to be different. We are not going to want sex the same time, in the same way. So we need to talk about it. We need to, you know, find ways to work together. And one of the best ways to make that happen is for both partners to initiate sex and connection. You don't wait for your partner to do it. You don't wait for your partner to be ready for it. You initiate sex and connection. Now, remember, I said and connection. That means intimacy. That means communication. That means reaching out to your partner. Too often I see an initiator and a receiver. There's a partner that's in the habit of initiating And then they resent it because they're always the one initiating. And then there's the partner in the habit of being the receiver. And, you know, often, you know, they might be happy or they might be not happy. They feel helpless. They feel powerless. Well, this relationship or my life isn't going the way I want to, and I don't feel, you know, able to do anything about it. It's because they put themselves in the passive role. So both partners should initiate sex and connection to live a radical life together. Fifth is adaptations. Now, adaptations are the ways in which we adapt to life and life together. And they occur when we take on a role of some kind. We make a choice or perform a behavior, and we're not really thinking about it. So, for example, let's say there's a crack in the sidewalk, and, you know, we tripped on it one day. And, you know, every day after that, we're going to, oop, there's a crack in the sidewalk. I'm going to step over that crack. I'm going to step over that crack. I'm going to step over that crack. So every day after that, you step over the crack, and you're not even really thinking about it. You're adapting to the crack. Well, how about fixing the crack? If it's in your front walkway, wouldn't you like it to be fixed so nobody else trips on it? So this is an example of adaptations that, you know, we're not thinking about it. We can live with them for a long time. And it doesn't necessarily work very effectively. And they create conflict when they don't work anymore. And usually it's because one partner is sick and tired of it. And so you say, fix the damn crack! And, you know, that happens, you know, over and over again with different things about life and living together. So adaptations tend to be a challenge because we are constantly adapting to things and we're not thinking about it. And then it tends to not work for us, and then we tend to get resentful or upset about it. And then number six is kids and parenting. This becomes a challenge. You know, kids, the minute you have a child in a relationship, life changes for yourself and for your relationship. And often, you know, this becomes the beginning of the end for some couples. They just can't handle it. And one reason is because each partner will have different approaches in raising children, different styles, different preferences, different opinions. And, you know, that's normal. That's okay. And in a functional, good relationship, we'll talk about it. We'll work together. We'll be a team. And we'll validate each other's perspective. And it becomes conflict if we argue with each other and, you know, we try to get the other person to see our way and we don't agree with them and we don't think their way is valid. Well, the minute you dismiss or discount your partner's point of view, you are inviting a conflict. So the way to solve the kids and parenting issue is to be a team and to validate your partner's perspective, that they are no more or less right than you are. You both get to be right. And you find a way to work together and be a team. And that's what radical marriage is all about. And that's where radical commitment and radical communication and on comes in. So number seven of the seven biggest challenges to radical living is our needs. And that we have many, many, many needs. It is impossible for them all to be met all at once. And so what matters is what happens when an issue comes up, when a need isn't met. And one of the most important needs are the ways in which we feel loved. And we feel loved in different ways. And what's important is that we are loved in the way that works for us. So finding out what your partner's love language is and what their needs are so that they feel loved is important. And we do that for each other. And so those are emotional needs. That's how we feel loved. And then there's functional needs, which are the things that you need to feel to be okay. Things like chores and money and other necessities of life. So these are the two areas of needs that tend to, you know, be primary in a relationship. And so we're going to have a lot of them, and they're not all going to be met all at the same time. So this is where our communication comes in, our ability to work together and be a team and prioritize each other's happiness. And the number one solution to it all, the number one solution to all seven obstacles to radical living together is what I call the platinum rule. And the thing is that what makes us feel loved is not what would make our partner feel loved. And so that is why the Platinum Rule is important and needed. And the Platinum Rule simply means do unto others as they want to be done to. And this is a complement to the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule says what? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? And that works. That's a wonderful rule. It civilizes us as human beings, that we're not going to walk down the street doing something to anybody else that we wouldn't want them to do to us. Very important. However, the Golden Rule has its limits. It doesn't work for everything. For example, it doesn't work for gift giving. It doesn't work to give your partner a gift that you would want to receive. The best gift is something that will make your partner happy, something that they would want to receive, not something that you would want to receive. So that really highlights the Platinum Rule and the Golden Rule, you know, very, very clearly. But how about this? How about sex? So the Golden Rule applied to sex would be what? Pleasure your partner in the way that you would want to be pleasured. Well, that doesn't work all that great. So the Platinum Rule in sex applied would be pleasure your partner in the way that they want to be pleasured. And so the Golden Rule is important and the Platinum Rule is important. And in a radical marriage, a radical relationship, and living a radical life together, we apply the Platinum Rule every day about most things that we do unto our partner, we do unto the relationship as they want to be done to in the way that works for them. We prioritize our partner's happiness. We prioritize the relationship. And they are prioritizing ours as well. They are practicing the Platinum Rule as well. That's when you have a good team. That's when you have a radical marriage. And you can be living the radical life together. Be responsive to each other's functional and emotional needs. Give to each other in the ways that the other wants. Cool. So being conscious is kind of important. And being conscious is simply being aware of what you're doing, right? And it's the best way to avoid problems. It's the best way of avoiding disaster is to be conscious of what you're doing. And so then you would identify and discuss areas that are problems or where you're not in alignment and be conscious and work that out. And think about decisions and choices that they have long-term consequences. And if you're conscious, then you are choosing in the moment in alignment with your desired long-term consequences. Now, that sounds great to say, but how often do people make choices in the moment in the way that works for them to get their immediate result, and they're not really thinking of the long term? So ideally, we would make our choices not only something that works for us now, but something that will work for us down the road as well. And we would make our choices in alignment with our vision and with our long-term goals. And so being conscious is a pretty important role here. And I noticed that there are three levels of consciousness. Level one is being conscious and in the moment, and you are aware and you're paying attention to what's going on, including long-term consequences. And then level two is being semi-conscious. When you're semi-conscious, you are kind of paying attention. You're not fully paying attention. You assume and you think you know what's going on, but you're not paying full attention to reality. So it's like stepping over the crack in the sidewalk and not even really noticing the crack, because it's just a habit to step over the crack. And you're not even really thinking, you know what, I should have that fixed. And so there's many, many ways that being semi-conscious kind of gets in the way, because we're creating a story about things. For example, let's say you go to the mall and you're parking your car. And if you're not paying full attention to where you park your car, that you might tell yourself, oh, yeah, I'll remember. Yeah, I always remember. And you go into the mall, and it's really crowded, and the parking lot's really crowded, and you come back to find your car, and you can't find it because you didn't pay full attention to exactly where it was. And now there's a whole sea of cars, there's a whole sea of people, and it takes you half an hour to find your car. And so that's an example of being semi-conscious. You believe, you told yourself, oh, yeah, I'll find the car. Well, if you were being conscious, you would say, okay, well, here's a landmark, and I'll remember the car because of that. And actually, the semi-conscious state is where most of us live most of the day, actually. But, you know, think about it. Notice yourself and how you go through the day. And then level three is being unconscious. Now, this is not being asleep. Being unconscious is when you are awake, but you're not paying attention. It's like you're on automatic pilot. You know, it's like you're driving down the freeway and you completely miss your exit because you weren't paying attention. Or you go to the mall, you park the car, you lock the car, you go inside the mall, and you did not even notice at all where you parked. It could be on the east side, the west side, the north side, the south side. It could be, you know, you really don't know because you weren't paying attention at all. And so these are the three levels of consciousness that I propose. And it's really hard to be conscious all the time about everything, that we will go in and out of 100% consciousness, and being semi-conscious is the state that most of us are in. But our power is in making a choice. Our power is in being self-aware that, okay, you know, I'm telling myself I will be able to find the car, but you know what? I better find a landmark. So those are the three levels of consciousness. They will play a role in radical living and your everyday life. Your life would go much smoother. You'll be able to achieve your vision and achieve your dreams by being more and more conscious. So key questions here. What do you want for your preferred lifestyle as you get older? Remember, we have limited time on this planet. As you get older, how will your life change, and what do you want for your life as you get older? What do you need to achieve that? And are you willing to do what it takes in your relationship together to achieve that? Now, this is a valid question. Often, people are not willing to do what it takes. That's too much of a sacrifice. I don't want to do that. Yes, I want the benefit, but I don't want to make the sacrifice or do the work or make the trade-off to make that happen. And so those are key questions that something that a couple must get on the same page about and talk about and negotiate. And so one way to help you do that, exercise number two for today in terms of a vision exercise, is your perfect day. And so the exercise goes like this. Imagine your absolute most perfect day exactly as you want it, from the minute you get up in the morning to the minute you go to bed at night. So minute by minute, what would your perfect day look like? What would you do? Where would you go? What would you eat? What would your life be like? How would you feel? What's happening? Where are you? It's a wonderful, wonderful exercise. You can really, really get into it, and it really brings your vision to life. Now, there's variations of the perfect day exercise. You can apply this to, you know, now, and then again 10 years from now. What's your perfect day 10 years from now? You can do your perfect weekday and your perfect weekend day. You can do your perfect vacation day. You can do your perfect date. How about your perfect day with your family? How about your perfect birthday or your perfect Christmas, perfect Valentine's Day? How about your perfect day if you were all by yourself and you had the day to yourself? How about your perfect day with your partner? It's a wonderful, wonderful vision exercise. It really helps bring things up and helps you be clear about what your most wonderful life would be like and step inside your vision and make that happen. Highly, highly, highly recommend this exercise. So, four steps to achieving your vision. Step one, identify your individual vision. The purpose of your life and your values and the lifestyle that you want to live and your perfect day, you know. What would your individual vision look like? And then step two, create a shared vision with your partner. get together with your partner, compare your individual visions, share your individual visions, see how they fit together, and create a shared vision. This is wonderful for a radical marriage retreat. You can really dream and vision together and create something together. And the thing about creating your shared vision is that you're going to have different visions. It is going to be different. But you'll put them together and create something magical. Create something that will make you both happy. You'll create something unique that doesn't exist anywhere in any couple, anywhere on the planet, because it's a unique reflection of you and your partner together. And sometimes couples get scared when their visions are so different. Well, I want to live on the West Coast, and you want to live on the East Coast. I want to live in the mountains. You want to live by the water. Yeah, it's okay to be very, very different. The fun and the adventure is finding ways to make it all happen. There's many ways to make it happen. And then step three, make it happen. Develop a plan. And in your radical marriage retreat, or just in using the relationship journal on a weekly basis or more often, you know, identify any challenges and, you know, focus on, you know, how are you going to solve these challenges and what's your requirement, what's a need, what's a want, and what are you going to do about it? Develop the goals, develop the objective, develop the steps, develop an action plan, and, you know, decide whose responsibility is to implement them. And write it down. So there's an actual plan here. And we're going to get to that in a second. So the fourth step is implementing and following up. So you make your plans in agreement, and you implement them, and you follow up by checking in with each other. You develop a written relationship plan. We're going to cover that in a second. And you review it regularly, at least quarterly. I'd love to see you guys do a radical marriage retreat quarterly. And so let's review the steps. Step one is identify your individual vision. Step two, create your shared vision. Step three, develop a plan. Step four, implement and follow the plan. So here's a tool that you can use. It's exercise number three. It's your relationship plan. And it's very, very simple. It's just a grid. And here are the proposed columns in the grid. The category is what area of your life does this apply to? Like, let's say, money. And then the status, is this a requirement or a need or a want? A requirement takes top priority. You're going to want to address those first. That's going to be a priority. And then, you know, if it's a want, that's nice to have happen. Let's put that a little bit lower. We definitely want to address it, but we want to address the higher priorities first. And then, you know, the challenge is what's getting in the way. What do we have to overcome to make this happen? The goal is, what is our goal that we want to have happen in this area? Action plan, what are the steps that we are planning to take about this? And the start date, when are we going to start it? And the owner is, you know, who's in charge or who's going to take responsibility, you know, for this particular goal? And then the check-in date is, you know, when are we going to review this? When are we going to go over this and then, you know, refine it and continue it or go on to the next thing? And so you do this for everything you can come up with, for every challenge, for every goal. And you can't do everything at once, but it really is helpful to come up with a nice long list of what are your requirements, what are your needs, what are your wants, what are the things that would allow you to achieve your vision, and develop goals around that and an action plan, and then just start tackling them. And you can do it in bits and pieces and small steps. And it's amazing how much they build on each other and how much you can accomplish. And you have a lifetime together. And, yeah, you have a limited amount of time on this planet, but you don't want to live it in a hurry either. You know, you don't have to accomplish all of this all at once. But it really is helpful to have a plan and then follow the plan. And the plan comes from what? It comes from your vision. It comes from what it is inside you that you want to make real that will cause you to be happy and fulfilled in your life and your relationship. So, five strategies for radical living. These are five things that you can do to live a radical life together. The first is dream. Give yourself permission to dream. Realize that not only can you achieve your dream, but you can go far beyond what you can imagine. You won't necessarily see it or be aware of it until you get there, but there's a whole world of possibilities, and that makes life an adventure. So strategy number one is dream. Allow yourself to dream and get in touch with what your vision is. Strategy number two is stay in the question. Now, often people get stuck because they are unclear about, well, how am I going to do this? I don't have the money for it. I don't have the time for it. How am I going to do this? You don't need to worry about how. What's more important is what it is you want to accomplish. And once you're clear about what it is you want to accomplish and what your vision is, then if you're not clear about how, then stay in the question. Okay, how can I accomplish this? How can I make this happen? And look around for ideas. Look around for resources. When you're looking, the ideas and the resources will appear. The solutions will appear. And you don't have to do this alone. You can also ask other people for help and support. Say, hey, I want to accomplish this. Got any ideas? How would you do that? So there's a lot of power to staying in the question. So rather than, and this is classic coaching, is rather than coming from, well, I can't because I don't have the time. I can't because I don't have the money. You're coming from, how can I? I want to accomplish this. I have no idea right now. How can I do that? Staying in the question is very, very powerful because you will find answers. You will find resources and solutions, but you won't if you're not open to them. And being open to them requires staying in the question. Great strategy. Strategy number three is get support. Don't do this alone. And the amazing thing is that if you're feeling challenged, you're having trouble with something, there's always somebody else that can either open the door for you or show you how to open it yourself. You are not alone in this world. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Some of them know the answers. Some of them have been there. Some of them would be completely willing to help and support you. Of course, if you don't believe it, then it's not going to be true. If you assume that, then you will be open to support. You will find these people that will be able to mentor you and support you and open doors for you. The strategy number three is get support. Strategy number four is keep moving forward. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You know, it doesn't work to stay in one place. So keep moving forward. Don't stop dreaming. And there's always another mountain. And, you know, that's not something to be discouraged of. Oh, man, it'll never end. Well, that's the fun and adventure of life. There's always more. You achieve one dream, and then there's the next one. You climb one mountain, and then there's the next one. And so keep moving forward. That is the fun and adventure of life. Strategy number five of our five strategies for radical living is believe. It will take a leap of faith. You won't believe all of it. You won't believe it's possible. You won't believe you can really have it happen or accomplish it. Many of us believe that we can't be loved for who we are. Many of us look at, oh, I don't have enough money. But take a leap of faith and believe that you can be loved for exactly who you are. You can be fully supported to live the life that you really want. The universe wants you to be successful. You deserve success. You deserve happiness. You deserve fulfillment. But it's not going to happen all by itself. It starts with you believing that it's possible and stepping into it and being clear about what that is, what it looks like. That's your vision. and then moving forward to make that happen, and doing that for yourself and doing that with your partner. So here's a saying that I really, really like. And actually, I'm pretty sure I made it up. So if you quote it, you'll probably be quoting me. But who knows? You never know. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going and how you'll get there. It doesn't matter where you've been. Now, many of us hold back because we think, well, you know, it's never happened to me before. It's not going to happen ever. You know, I came from this kind of background or that kind of background, or this happened to me or that happened to me. It doesn't matter where you've been. You can be happy. You can find love. You can be successful. You can be fulfilled. You can achieve your dream. What matters is where you're going and how you'll get there. So in a radical relationship, you are in this together. You will be able to achieve your vision together. You need the support of your partner and work together as a team. This is where it starts. And when in a couple relationship, the couple is not working together as a team, then they're not going any further. If they're not able to work together as a team, then they're either put up with each other and they're unhappy for the rest of their life, or they break up. So the ability to work together as a team is incredibly important for the success of the couple and for achieving their dreams together and being happy together. And in radical marriage, we make it very, very clear that in our experience, in our research, in our work, and in our personal life, you know, what we've found is to be a team, we must prioritize each other's happiness. If we focus on our own needs and our own happiness and we prioritize our own happiness, then we're being selfish. It sounds terrible, but, you know, it's what most couples do. It's what most people do in a relationship. They are concerned about their own needs, their own wants, you know, how they're feeling, what they want that they're not getting. And if they can't prioritize their partner's happiness, then their relationship gets in trouble. So it really does seem to be the key point in successful, happy couples is to have the team perspective that you're in this together and to be able to prioritize each other's happiness. So living a radical life together means and requires an attitude of we are in this together no matter what. That's what radical commitment is, no matter what. We're going to make this work no matter what. We take 100% responsibility, not 50-50. I've heard that a lot. But what I've seen, you know, couples do with each other is they point the finger at the other person. Well, what about your 50%? Well, if we're taking 100% responsibility, we're not pointing the finger. We're not worried about our partner's 50%. We are taking 100%. So when two partners are taking 100% responsibility for their relationship, magic happens. It's a wonderful relationship when that happens. Radical living requires going for it to live your best life. Not just mediocre, not just okay, not just comfortable, but going for it to live your best life, achieving your biggest dream together. And that requires having a clear vision of what you want that to look like, and then defining and growing and evolving your dreams. So it never stops. It never ends. And this is the adventure of life and of radical marriage and of living of radical living. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, is everything I have for you today. So let's see how we did. We talked about how to make your dreams come true, how to remove the number one biggest obstacle holding you back, which was what? Fear. The number one biggest source of relationship conflict, which was what? Unrealized expectations. You know, the not achieving your vision of what you want for your life and your relationship. the number one solution to all relationship problems, what was that? The Platinum Rule. We address solving the seven biggest challenges of radical living. Our three favorite radical living exercises, what were they? That was the radical living wheel. Let's take a look at that. You want to get to the right slide. Where'd that go? I can't even find it. So the radical living wheel and the perfect day and the relationship plan. So those were our three favorite radical living exercises. And then four doable steps to achieving your dreams. And our top five strategies for radical living. That's what we covered today. It was a huge agenda, and we covered the whole thing. So our intention and desire here is that you are able to make your life together your greatest adventure. So thanks so much for joining us today. And if you have any questions, I'd love to see them. Put them in the question box. And Susie is asking, what do you do when a couple has vastly different dreams? You know, Susie, couples will always have vastly different dreams because we're different people. And this is the magic and the fun of getting together, is that we are creating something totally unique, something that's never been done before by anybody else. And so it's not going to look like any other couple. So this is where prioritizing our partner's happiness, this is where developing our individual vision and then coming together and developing a shared vision from that and supporting our partner's vision. You know, an example of that is that, you know, my vision for my life, a strong part of who I am, is I love the water. I love boats. I love sailing. I'm a sailor. I identify myself as a sailor. And I've sailed and I've had boats all my life. And Darlene, who is my soulmate, the love of my life, she gets violently seasick. However, she supported me to get a boat. I didn't have a boat when we first met. And the more she learned about me, the more she learned about my vision and my dreams, she realized how integral having a boat was to that. So we went ahead and got a boat. And we are finding many, many ways to have fun on the boat and experience the boat together. And maybe there's things that I can do on the boat myself, and she'll definitely support me to do that. But we're both enjoying the boat together. So this is not something that she ever wanted or thought about, but she's totally supporting me to achieve my dream and my vision. So we're very different when it comes to boats, but we're finding a way to make it work together. So that's just an example, and all couples have this, that we all have vastly different dreams because we're all different people. That's normal. That's okay. The fun and the creativity comes from putting those dreams together and finding creative ways to live your vision out together and creating your shared vision together. And let me see if we have any more questions. See, Donna is asking, how long does it take to see results if a couple is truly working these guidelines? Wow, great question, Donna. To me, when a couple gets on the same page, when they create that team, magic happens. It can happen so fast, much faster and much more powerfully than you can imagine. You know, because we are powerful people individually, but when you put two people together, it becomes, you know, magnified. So, you know, you're asking how long. I don't even worry about how long it is because I know the magic happens the minute they get on the same page and they become a team. The minute they're able to put aside ego, prioritize each other's happiness. The minute they decide that they want a radical marriage and they're going to do what it takes, then you'd be amazed at how far and fast they can fly. So it almost doesn't matter how long it takes because you're on the path. And that's really it, don't you think? You're either on the path or you're not. You're either satisfied and fulfilled that you are living the life that you want to live and you're working towards it, or not. So that's what matters. You're either on the path or not. If you're on the path, you'll get there. It almost doesn't matter how long. So that's my best answer, Donna, but thank you very much for the question. Okay, guys, is that it? Okay, well, that's it for today. I thank you very, very much for joining us. This was a very meaningful program to me because this is sort of the culmination of Radical Marriage. This is the final chapter in the Radical Marriage book. This is what's most important to us. This is what it's all about. It's, you know, living the life that we really want to live on this planet in the time that we have left. And how do we do that? So I'm very happy to share that with you today. I thank you very much for joining me and sharing this with us today. And we will talk to you next time. Bye for now.